Don't you wish you could have strings just follow you around all the time?
Yes.
That I mean, I do have the best spot in the house to just be like surrounded.
Good. Chris, you ever see a bumper sticker and you think, oh, that's not true?
No, I believe every bumper sticker I read.
Can you imagine?
Keep Donald Trump.
Can you imagine if you went through life and you believed every bumper sticker?
Yes.
Where you'd be like,
God is my co-pilot. Where?
You'd either be the most positive person in the world.
No, you'd just be bipolar. You'd be like, oh, it's so great. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's so great.
Right, it's up and down. But I got thinking the other day that, you know, I don't know if you know this. I used to be cynical. And, yeah.
Sarcasm.
And I'm not anymore.
Okay.
And so in my newfound positivity,
okay.
I have decided that I want to ask a new question. What if that's true? But so when I see something,
that's
now,
like your position. Like, what if that's true?
Yeah. So now when I see something, I go, hey, but what if that's true? Because, you know, instead of just mocking it or making fun of it, I've started asking, what if that's true? So can I give you two examples?
Are you talking about T-shirts? Like if I read a T-shirt and say
T-shirts, posters, bumper stickers.
Whoa, that's a tough call.
I know, okay. But it's kind of a fun exercise. Yeah, and especially in West LA, because people are really creative, you know? But I want to give you two examples that are like,
what if that's true?
Classic. So we're going to ask, what if that's true?
Let's see.
So do you guys ever see the thing is often like on a wooden plaque or whatever? It's called like footprints in the sand. Do you ever see the footprints poem?
Okay, does everyone
know what I'm talking about?
Don't be bashing the footprints. It's in grandma's house.
I know. But here's the thing. Like sometimes people look at that and they're like, oh, it's pretty cheesy. But I started asking, what if it's true? Because here's the thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been through a really difficult time in your life, but there are times when life is so tough that you almost can't carry the weight yourself, and you do feel like you're being carried by a power greater than yourself. And so in that sense, I don't want to make fun of the footprints because it's kind of true, right? Like there are points when you look back over your life when you realize like, how I got from there to here was not entirely under my own power. I was being carried along by a greater something, you know?
Okay.
And I want to acknowledge that. I don't want to be cynical about that because it's kind of true.
Okay. So you're trying to go through this little exercise of looking into these things. And the footprints, it's an interesting example of what if there's this thing that is true. There's a power beyond ourselves. The funny thing is how that power may come.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it's, for me, it's as we were doing this little exercise of talking about what's the most significant thing someone's ever done for you, and I'm talking about the things my wife's done for me or my family or things from mentors or coaches or friends, and then I suddenly realize it's not just one set of footprints. There's thousands of them walking along with me. It's this idea that we're being carried along by a force greater than ourselves, and that force is being worked out with a bunch of us.
You make a great point, and like sometimes the thing about the footprints that seems untrue is that there's only one set of footprints, because really when you look back over your life, thousands of people have come alongside of you, hundreds of people have carried you through the dark places in your life, and you made the comment in passing that sometimes you can't even find your own footprints in your journey.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's an abundance there. There's something that continues to happen as we give together. It's like a, it reminds me of a story of a little boy that shows up at a party, and they run out of food at the party.
Oh.
And the little boy opens up his lunch pail and has some bread and fish to share, and it continues to go through the whole party.
Did you just make that up?
I did. I heard about it on a radio program once. It's like going to this other party, and they run out of the best wine, and there's more wine that just keeps coming. Oh. It's these stories of abundance that somehow in God's economy is different than ours.
Okay, that leads me to my second example. Okay. So have you ever heard this saying, love is the only thing that multiplies as you give it away? Have you guys heard this sentiment before? No? No one's heard it.
Not an LA t-shirt.
So let me introduce you. Let me introduce you to a new concept. Love, apparently, is the only thing that multiplies as you give it away. You see what they did there? It's like a different kind of math.
All right.
But I've started to ask the question, what if that's true? Okay. Let's think about it. There's a category of things that actually increase as they're given away. You don't, love is one of those things, but I would put grace in there. I would put faith in there. There's a category of things that we're saying come out of God. That's not an emptiness, it's a fullness, right? That's birthed in life after death. So that we can live in this life being people of grace, being people of kindness, being people of love, because it actually multiplies as we give it away. That cliche is kind of true.
Wow. Okay. So in this empty change the world thing, it's when we come to the end of our emptiness, we find others that fill that up. So Wesley would call that a means of grace, that when we see someone who is less fortunate than us in a lot of ways, whether that's someone across a desk who is their life isn't working out well, or someone on the side of the street, when we see someone at their wit's end and we participate with them by giving away part of us in love or kindness or generosity, that we both seem to be multiplied.
Right.
Like, I don't run out and they get some too.
Let's do an experiment. How many people in this room have ever been disappointed in me? How many people have I ever disappointed?
I need to see some more hands in this room right now.
Some of you are lying. Alex, can I pick on you for a second? Okay, so let's say that I let Alex down, right? I do something that disappoints him or angers him, right? And so he has to consider how he's going to respond. But if he decides to respond by forgiving me, here's the amazing part about this. Alex doesn't become a less forgiving person because he gave me forgiveness. We both get richer in forgiveness. He increases, right? Grace is this amazing thing, and it changes the way we do math, because we, as a community, when we go out into the world and love, we don't get less loving. The world gets more loving. When we give people grace and forgiveness and kindness, we don't become less gracious people and less kind. We actually are multiplying it so that there's more grace in the world. There's more forgiveness in the world. There's more love in the world. It's an amazing thing. That's how empty changed the world. We don't have to keep track of where you've wronged me or if I owe you, right? We don't do that anymore. Empty changed the way we count things.
The grave tends to be one of those things that pushes people in this direction, in one way or the other. Either they see such a mass shortage and there's such great fear of what's coming that they pull back on everything around them and try to hang on. And that causes this scarcity model to pull from everything. They become a giant vacuum. Yeah. Or they look through it and see it as an opportunity. And they see that this is a doorway into a new life. Mm-hmm. And that there's an abundance that comes out of it. Yeah. Christ's call is for us to be the ladder. To look through this into a world of generosity and hope. That there is a place for cynicism in order to make things better. But the place we are birthed in is in hope for the future.
I love that you acknowledge that it's birthed, right? Because, and this is the trick, is that it's how empty changed the world. It's not how fullness changed the world, right? So it starts in that negative. But we get, right, and there's something, you know, mysterious about the way that God's world, God's will for the world works different than the way the world currently works.
Yeah.
And as we go out into the world and we give people love, we give people grace, we take care of people in kindness, we don't become less kind, less caring people. The world gets better.
And that world, how we get to live our life in that, how our life, this gift that we're given, gets birthed into this generosity, this wild life that we get to participate in the world around us, is the very hope that's birthed today in Easter. Yeah. In this moment, this empty tomb and risen hope, may we find it. May we jump into it gladly. I have no idea what question I put on that.
Have you ever felt like you've been carried or that you have participated in carrying others? So we're going to go back to the footprints idea.
And the cliche. Like, is a cliche true?
Have you is there carried? Any truth in there? Okay, let's break back up into our conversation groups. And let's talk about times we were carried or that we have helped carry others.
Breathe the rise and fall. Go on and feel it all. I want to feel it all. Love the rise and fall. I want to feel it all. I want to feel it all. Oh, life.